thanks everyone for downloading the latest edition of the All Lions podcast, made possible thanks to Fan Nation and SI.com. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. Great podcast episode this week. Had an opportunity earlier to speak with Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker NFL podcast. Had an opportunity to discuss the Detroit Lions, expectations, Dan Campbell, Jared Goff. Ross Tucker, really a broadcaster that I respect, someone that is in the know regarding the National Football League, definitely has a unique look and view of the world of football, and obviously to gain the insights regarding those that are following football, especially regarding the Detroit Lions, who are a football team now that are under the microscope, a team that has really, really high expectations and could be among those teams in the NFC that have an opportunity, like the Seahawks, like the Eagles, like the 49ers. I think the Lions are probably among the top four teams in the NFC at this point. So to talk to Ross Tucker later on is something you want to stay tuned and listen to. Had an opportunity as well to discuss kind of his view regarding quarterbacks. As everybody knows, if Goff has a successful season, then he may be in line for a massive extension. It's always a point of debate and understanding and kind of something that's talked about very heavily in the NFL world is, should the Lions potentially give Goff an extension, pay him upwards of $40 to $50 million, or is a guy waiting in the wings, Hendon Hooker, potentially that guy? So to get Ross's sense of how NFL teams build rosters and looking at quarterbacks, definitely something you want to listen to. This week, had an opportunity again to go out to Allen Park and watch OTAs, and it was very interesting. A little bit shorter because probably the weather and obviously because there were other aspects of what the coaching staff was looking for this week. We had an opportunity, instead of a massively long team period, we had a kicking competition, which I thought was very interesting, and it was a pleasure to be a part of, getting to see Parker Romo blast the football, a kicker that you can see why had success in his previous times in, I believe, the XFL, one of the premier kickers. And boy, did he showcase a booming leg. And they set up a competition between Parker Romo and Riley Patterson. And you could see why the Lions would like Riley Patterson, because he's very consistent from within 40 yards. But there's something to be said about Parker Romo's leg and the boom that comes with it and the way in which the football just zooms through the upright. And he elevated himself and caught the attention of all the media that were there. The ball was going through the upright with yards to spare from distance, from beyond 55 yards. So I think he had one miss on the day, one or two, if that. Whereas in the early competition, Romo went 5 for 5, I think, and Riley went 3 for 5 with a couple of misses. So Patterson blinked first. And if you ask me today, going into training camp, I think the competition should be between Parker Romo and Michael Badgley. And let's see the best man win during training camp in pressure moments and in situations in which you need your kicker. So I hope that opportunity presents itself, because I think Parker Romo has an opportunity to make a name for himself. If not with the Lions, then with an NFL team. I think he'll be on a roster. He'll be somebody's kicker this year if he can continue to demonstrate accuracy and demonstrate that his leg is as powerful as advertised. But that first impression, my goodness, it was great to see. I was standing right under the upright as that ball was going through, and he was kicking them well through the uprights with accuracy. The other thing that kind of has caught people's attention that has, you know, been talked about regarding what does it mean. Look, it is organized team activities, but you're not going to extrapolate too many determining factors based on what you're seeing, because mini camps around, you're not in full pads and things like that. A lot of players are not there. But the offense at this point, it is factually true. The offense is behind the defense right now at this point in the offseason. The defense is kind of showing swagger with Ifeatu Melifonwu getting in the mix in a little skirmish early in walkthroughs. You have the defensive backs talking a lot of junk when they're making plays. They are trying to boost their swagger, the defense, and they're not to, and I think it's great. I think it is true that if the Lions defense has this potential to do the things that they're going to do, then matching up against the Lions offense and having success is going to be spectacular. And I think that when you look at the Detroit Lions defense, for them to come out with this new swagger, with this new attitude, it's refreshing. And it's something I want to see. I like it because the last couple years, the defense has been a unit that has really taken it on the chin. And really highlighted by what the Seahawks did to them in front of the home fans at Ford Field. A game in which an opponent came to Ford Field and did not punt once, which really sparked off a lot of discussion and frustration regarding the defense. Probably was one of the first signs that, whoa, the secondary needs a major overhaul. So there was talent brought in, there were gritty players brought in, and players with the swagger that are coming out and saying following practice, like Cam Sutton, who says that we're going to make teams pay that make mistakes against us. You have Kirby Joseph, who is going to take the next step. You have James Houston, who in a recent interview says that he wants to double his sack total. He wants to have a season in which he has double-digit sacks, maybe even upwards of 15 to 16 sacks. You want that renewed confidence. You want the players on defense to feel like they can compete. So, you know, the offense is not exactly where it needs to be, just in terms of execution during drills. You know, not getting as many first downs, lots of errant throws, miscommunications, receivers not exactly being where they need to be during individual drills. So at this point, look, what does it mean? It just means that this is going to be an area of emphasis going into minicamp. Obviously, they're going to see the film and they're going to step it up. Hopefully, you have veterans return. You had a dozen players out at OTAs, a dozen or more. That's disruptive to the process. And looking at what the Lions were able to accomplish, there are some players, though, that should be highlighted. One being Jahmyr Gibbs, the rookie. Seeing his speed and fluidity, it was a nice opportunity to see him out there on the field. Because David Montgomery was not part of practice on Thursday, then you got an opportunity to see a running back that, wow. When you say offensive weapon, I can see it. Everybody that was out there could see it, that this player can be utilized in this offense and rather quickly. He'll adapt and he'll be utilized and given touches. So if you're a fantasy player and you can get some value maybe in the second or third round with Jahmyr Gibbs, I think there's an opportunity to get him some touches out of the backfield, whether it be screens, lining up in the slot, getting some of those quick passes in the intermediate section there to get balls out fast. I like Jahmyr Gibbs and what he can potentially do in this Lions offense. Guys, you have to credit those that are reliable because it's not easy to just go out there and perform at a high level day in and day out. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is a player that just is professional. And that's the best way to put it, is that you know what you're going to get. He's out there, he's open, he catches the ball, he handles his business, he makes plays. And it's just refreshing to see day in, day out. Okay, big play needed? Go to Amon-Ra. First team, second team, the quarterback needs a big play? Go to Amon-Ra. And it's good to see a player continue on his progression. We need to see more out of Jameson Williams. Yes, Dan Campbell said his route running's getting better, but it's not at the elite level it needs to be. And still learning, still obviously hasn't had a lot of time to be out there. But again, first round pick needs to be at a higher level at this point. Connection with Goff is not as smooth as it needs to be. It can be better. Of course, it's going to get there. I have no doubt that Jared Goff and Jameson Williams will figure it out. OTA is the time where you have the opportunity to try things and do things and work on the things that need to be worked on. Work on the struggles. Work on exactly having Jameson be where he needs to be. So when it gets reported that it's not where it needs to be, it's not a conclusive statement. It's not like this is going to be this way forever. The goal is, okay, they struggled today. Now moving forward, this is the area of need that needs to get better, and you correct it. That's why they watch film and they make quote-unquote corrections. That's how it goes. So don't hate on those reporting. That's what we see. We see Jared Goff throwing a pass to Jameson. He's not where he needs to be, and he throws his arms up in the air saying, darn it, you know, because he's a competitor. He wants to be perfect. So then they talk about it, and they say, okay, I need you here so that when the ball, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom, you got to be here so that this is where the ball is going to be no matter what. and Ben Johnson talked to Jameson. Dan Campbell talked to him. So I expect that during minicamp in the coming days, which will start next Tuesday, that the Lions' crispness on offense is going to be for sure addressed. You're going to see it. Marvin Jones will be back, who was not there. You'll start to see David Montgomery hopefully return for minicamp, and you'll start to see the offense pick it up. But the offense has not been great, and it's clear. So hopefully now when you read content and listen to content from All Lions, you're not just saying, oh, look at this hater, that others are seeing it as well. Others are documenting what's going on. And we have an inside view. I'm as close as humanly possible out there at Allen Park. Any opportunity that I can get out there with my vastly busy schedule, with everything else I got going on, I definitely enjoy the opportunity to report on and cover the Detroit Lions. And I'm sensing that I'm gaining increased trust from you guys as the readership and listenership continues to grow. And now others are starting to pick up after all this time that All Lions is a site that you can count on for content, entertainment, videos, and all things related to the Detroit Lions from an insider view. So that I'm truly grateful for. And then to have an opportunity to email somebody in the media world who I respect greatly, who I listen to, who I subscribe to, Ross Tucker, who is a very wise and very bright, entertaining broadcaster and podcaster. I enjoy listening to the Ross Tucker podcast. So listen to this interview. We had an opportunity to talk about the Lions, the expectations, Dan Campbell. We touched on Jared Goff and the debate that is had across the NFL landscape regarding young quarterbacks and quarterbacks making north of $40 million. So here it is, my interview with Ross Tucker. Enjoy. And the audio, just to put out there, the audio at the end, maybe the last 3-4 minutes, gets a little bit, you know, a little bit shaky. So I will say this, Ross definitely wanted to highlight myfrontpagestory.com. It's an opportunity where a writer, a professional writer, will document information about a relative, could be your father for Father's Day, and will write up a beautiful story that can be framed and really remembered forever. And Ross is very passionate about it, and you can tell in his explanation. Sometimes the audio is shaky, but in essence, myfrontpagestory.com is a great service and an opportunity if you're looking for a Father's Day gift to be able to get your relative a little bit of publicity in written form. And Ross really highlights it. So you can go to myfrontpagestory.com for all that if it doesn't exactly come through from Ross. But he definitely is passionate talking about the project that he is a part of, where you can get your relative, your mother, your father, some coverage in a way that can be remembered and stored forever in a beautifully written form at myfrontpagestory.com. Again, here's my interview with Ross Tucker.
As advertised, we have today host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I've been looking forward to this conversation, listening to his podcast, having similar views regarding the NFL and the Lions. You can find him on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, looking forward to talking football, talking about the Detroit Lions, who have really a team that is among the most talked about teams this offseason.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you guys. I mean, first of all, John, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. But I'm so excited that there's this level of anticipation for Detroit Lions football season. I've got several friends that are Lions fans, a college teammate of mine who I actually posted on social media about today at Ross Tucker NFL. He's Chuck. He's from Detroit. Huge Lions fan. Even the guy that does my website stuff, Christopher Jackson, huge Lions fan. So I'm just so excited that you guys have so much to look forward to. And I hope that the trajectory they showed at the end of last season, they can continue, because, man, you guys have some loyal, diehard fans, and you deserve nothing more than to have some success.
Yeah, and what embodies, I think, why the Lions fans have stuck with this regime even after a 1-6 start last year is head coach Dan Campbell. I think a head coach really that embodies what this city is about, gritty, tough, and relates to the players. You're starting to see players that maybe at 1-6 could have tanked it and maybe gone the other way, but no, they still fought and won 8 out of 10 games What do you think is part of Dan Campbell's makeup that makes him such a player's coach?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I was pretty nervous for him last year when they were 1-6. It's funny because, you know, I do the Eagles preseason games and I do their pregame show on the radio. And man, the Lions in the opener last year gave the Eagles everything they could handle and scored a bunch of points and were very impressive. And I think I want to say the next week, did they win their second game against Washington at home, maybe?
Yes, they did.
Okay. So I was I did a game up there. It was, I think it was at Eastern Michigan in Ypsilanti. And I was listening to the local radio, and they were talking playoffs and, you know, you still think that, you know, what chance they get to play, like 75% chance. And then they proceeded to lose five games in a row. And they blew some of them, like that Vikings one. And I was very concerned about Dan Campbell, just thinking, I'm rooting for him. I kind of root, I guess, for every former player, but especially Campbell, because he and I were teammates for a very brief time. And then we've just kind of talked before games on the field over the years as a result of that. So I was kind of rooting for him. And when things were going south and they were losing those games, including those close ones, I thought, man, it might just not happen for him. Like Detroit, nobody can figure it out when they're in Detroit. They just can't get it done. But then he flipped it again, and to win the way they did. And then that last game against the Packers, I know they couldn't make the playoffs at that point, but on some level, John, it almost makes it better that they were able to take the Packers down. And that Campbell had them playing that well, even though they couldn't make the playoffs at that point. It's really, really impressive what he did. And it's funny, the timing of you having me on your show, because next week I'm going to be going over my head coach rankings that I put out for the 33rd team on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. So I'm going to talk about it. And I actually was talking about it with Mike Tannenbaum, the former Jets and Dolphins GM. And he said that Dan Campbell was very close to getting the job with the Miami Dolphins. And he also talked about the fact that Campbell is just so relatable, you know, like he is who he is. There's no pretenses. The passion is real. The energy and emotion is real. You know, the chew and the dip and the pickup truck are real. You know, he's really is, you know, As Tannenbaum said, and I encourage people to listen to it next week, he said he can totally talk to the owner 1 second and then the backup cornerback the next second. And that's not easy. You know, those are two very different people to talk to. But Campbell just does a terrific job of relating to everybody. And the players believe in him. The players love him. They want to play for him. And I know I talk with Alex Anzalone pretty often because he's from my hometown, and he came on my show and said that he really credited Campbell, Dan Campbell, for being the reason why the Lions were able to turn it around in the second half of the year last year. He kept that team together.
Yeah, now they've added weapons through the draft, obviously adding running back Jahmyr Gibbs. You've covered the NFL. You see teams that tend to trend upward. For the Lions to take that next step, because here in Detroit, the expectation now is to win the division, host a home playoff game at Ford Field for the first time in that building's existence. What does it take for a team now where the NFL world now recognizes this is a team on the rise? What will it take for the Lions to meet those goals, have a double-digit win season, win the division, and hopefully advance maybe even far in the postseason?
Yeah, it's funny. Just as you say that, John, and I'm thinking about it, I think the Lions are probably the favorites in my mind in the NFC North. You know, I mean, Packers have a new quarterback. Bears feels like they still have a decent way to go. The Vikings had a really good year last year, but they're not going to win every close game again this year. Like, that's not happening. There will be some regression there. So I kind of think the Lions, which when's the last time you can say that the Lions were the favorite to win the NFC North, but I kind of feel like they are. it will be different a little bit in the sense that it feels like they'll be more the hunted as opposed to the hunter. And I'm sure Dan Campbell wouldn't agree with that and would say they're still the hunter, man, and they're still going after him. But I think that they kind of will have that label of favorites. And that's a different thing. I'll be curious to see how they kind of handle that, how they react to being considered, you know, the favorites in the division. I did like a lot of the additions that they've made. You know, Campbell at linebacker, I think, is a heck of a player. Gibbs, you know, I always hear the running back thing, and I get it. Like, I do, right? I understand what people think of in terms of the value of that position. But I guess I would also submit to you that it's really a matchup league, right? And Gibbs is a very, very difficult matchup for any linebacker that would be tasked with covering him. And Dan Campbell kind of saw that in New Orleans with Alvin Kamara, right? Like, he saw how hard it is for linebackers to cover guys like Gibbs one-on-one. And even if they're in a zone coverage, the ability for Goff to just check it down to Gibbs if there's nothing down the field. Gibbs is not a check down running back who will get you 5 yards. He's a check down running back that could get you 15, 20 yards because of that burst. So really looking forward to it. I think the big thing for them is they need that D line to continue to come along, right? I mean, we know what Aiden Hutchinson is, but he needs to take the next step. I think in particular, defensive tackle is a position where they still are probably not right where they need to be, which is one reason why I thought they might take Jalen Carter in the draft to get a guy that's a difference maker on the interior. But obviously with Kaminsky, I love what he did last year. And then the young kid off the edge that kind of came out of nowhere, that was bananas. And to be able to have him coming off the edge and then you get Aquara back, they should have a pretty good rotation of edge guys.
Yeah, and you look at it, I think what is giving a lot of fans here in Detroit optimism is Brad Holmes is building the right way, building through the trenches, upgrading the defensive line, really building that offensive line so that the run game can be integral. But obviously, Ross, you know, it's a quarterback league. The Lions are going to go as far as Jared Goff takes them. Your assessment of Jared Goff, and do you think the Lions can win at the highest levels with Goff under center?
Well, so here's the thing I would say. I mean, Jared Goff took a team to the Super Bowl, right? So Jared Goff showed that he can win playoff games. He can win road playoff games. He can get to a Super Bowl. And I think he's playing better than he played when he was with the Rams. So if he's able to get to a Super Bowl with the Rams, I think he can get to one with the Detroit Lions. And the thing I'd also say, John, you know, look, I don't want to get too carried away if you're a Lions fan, but the NFC feels to me like a winnable conference, right? Whereas if the Lions were in the AFC, kind of would have a tough time picturing them being better than the Chiefs or probably even the Bengals. In the NFC, the Niners have their quarterback and injury issues. Eagles lost a lot. I mean, I think the Eagles are still probably the favorite, but they lost a lot. They're coming back to the pack a little bit. So there's the potential there for a Detroit or a Seattle or a team like that to go to the Super Bowl, man. I mean, to go to the Super Bowl. Now, there's a lot, I mean, you know, in Detroit to be talking about the Super Bowl, when the last time you guys won a playoff game at all, like the 90s?
1991.
That is unbelievable. I mean, that is unbelievable. So maybe we should just pull back a little bit. Like, let's win a playoff game first. But my point remains there, you know, it feels like the NFC is there for the taking.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the optimism lies with the Lions is that they have a young team that maybe, you know, is taking that next step and hopefully results in, you know, success at the highest levels. And I think Jared Goff working with Ben Johnson, who is returning, is another key as well. You have a young coach that is building an offense tailored to Goff.
which I think maybe did not exactly happen towards the tail end of his run with the Rams. So I think that it's a nice fit. And Goff has incentive. If he plays well, you're seeing quarterback dollars just go to extremes, $50 million plus for signal callers. Do you think, and it's really a debatable topic amongst, you know, NFL and roster building, do you think a team needs a veteran quarterback that is getting paid upwards of $40, $50 million? Because you're also seeing a lot of young teams that emerge as well that have a good nucleus, but are also are not paying a quarterback that high. They're on their rookie deals. Where do you weigh in on kind of how teams are building at the quarterback spot?
Well, I guess what I would say is if you don't have a quarterback that gives you a chance to win, who cares how much they're making? I think ideally you'd have a quarterback that's really good on their rookie contract, you know, like Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, et cetera. Obviously now Hurts got an extension. I would expect Burrow to get an extension before the season starts as well. So that's one thing too. That only lasts 3 years anyway, you know, and then those guys start making that money. And you look at the last few Super Bowls, I mean, Mahomes was making a lot of money. The year before that, Stafford was making a lot of money. The year before that, Brady was making plenty. So I think this, you got to have a quarterback on the rookie contract. I think that's been, debunked the last few years. Is it helpful if the quarterback's not making top of the market? Is it helpful if they structure it in a way that you can have other guys in the team? Sure, but you really need someone to be playing really well at that position.
I agree. And I think that's where confidence is really high that Goff can perform at a high level here in Detroit. And now we're going to see OTAs, mini camps, training camps, lots of positivity flowing with the Detroit Lions, who are led by Dan Campbell. We've been chatting with Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker NFL podcast. Really a solid listen. You must subscribe. Has great guests, great insights from a former NFL player. Now, as we approach Father's Day, you're involved in a great project that I think is really worthwhile for those that are looking for a Father's Day gift. Tell us about My Front Page Story.
Well, it's so funny, John, because it actually looks like those framed Detroit Free Press stories behind you. I mean, that's what it looks like, except you get it written all about your dad. And nobody is willing to get their dad for Father's Day. And I know this much. I'm not aware of a dad that doesn't like the newspaper. Like, for whatever, dads love the newspaper. You literally talk to one of the writers for 10 minutes. They write the most unbelievable story about your dad. Maybe they talk to your siblings as well. You send them a couple pictures. It looks like it's framed just like that, John. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. It's beautiful. And I know a lot of dads aren't like sentimental guys. They will be when they get this. When they see the picture, when they see it framed, when they know that you went out of your way to have a story written about them, and then when they see the quotes, like my sister, I did this for my mom for Mother's Day. When my mom read, you know, I wouldn't be the woman I am today, but for my mom, from my sister, she just started crying, absolutely crying. And the cool thing is, it's like if you have a frame right there hanging out, Sean, say they put it in their house. So it's like the gift that keeps on giving. It's staying up in their house forever. So highly encourage all the great people of Detroit to check out myfrontpagestory.com. Get your dad the best Father's Day gift you've ever gotten him. Myfrontpagestory.com.
Absolutely. We've enjoyed this football conversation with Ross Tucker. Make sure to check out his podcast again. Follow him on social media channels at Ross Tucker NFL. You see a lot of insight, passion for the game, and now some increased optimism for the Detroit Lions. And let's hope they can deliver. Give the pundits something to talk about all throughout the season. Ross, I enjoyed the conversation. I really respect your takes. And I think that, you know, talking ball with you has been a pleasure, and continued success in all the endeavors with My Front Page Story, covering the Eagles, covering the NFL, and with the podcast. We appreciate your time.
Sean, thank you so much for having me. I meant what I said about Lions fans, unbelievably loyal. 1991, to still be this diehard, it's unbelievable. I'm so excited that you even have the type of team that's in the opener against the Chiefs. That game's going to be awesome, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Lions win that game. Man, how that the anticipation for that one and then the conversation the day after, if the Lions pull that off, would be incredible.
All eyes on the Lions, especially in the opener. Ross, thanks again.